Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 29th of August, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is 1. The storm is here. 2. QAnon outs the Jews. 3. The Ark Project. 4. Money changes or the financial systems changing, and it's here right around the corner. And of course, there'll be some other current events discussed. We have a guest going to join us here in just a minute. Mike from Missouri, St. Louis to be specific, is going to join us again in just a minute. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. And today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Callers are welcome. However, we do ask that you wait till we get things up and rolling. And when you do call in, keep your comments and or questions as brief as possible so more folks can participate. If you're on a phone, you would do that by signaling me by pressing *6. I'll see you in the queue. If you're on a computer, you can use the Q&A button or just looks like a question mark button. And that will also put you in the queue, and I will unmute you when the time is appropriate. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and we do thank the folks out there that support us from time to time. It is very much appreciated. And just stick with me there, Mike. I'll unmute you in a second. Ezekiel 25:14. Why do I say that? Because that and Obadiah verse 18, I believe, are right around the corner. I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob, Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. And the ones that will know his vengeance, of course, is Edom, Esau. From Psalm 149, we get, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. So apparently there's people that aren't his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. All right, now let me grab Mike here. And can you hear me, Mike?
Yes. Good evening, Dan. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing really, really good. I wanted the folks to know, as we get into the different topics here tonight, the Bank versus UTV folks are with us, so howdy out to all those guys and gals. And Jimmy, the host over there from Tampa, is with us as well, of course. And we also want to keep him in prayer. Apparently a big old storm came through and did some pretty significant damage on his property. So we want Jimmy held up in prayer that he's able to work through that and get things fixed and straightened out as quickly as possible. All right, Michael, we haven't had you on as a guest in a while. How you been?
Oh, doing very well. Been very blessed. Things are, you know, as we talk, you know, offline quite a bit, things seem to be moving towards, you know, what our book says is going to happen. And obviously, the Father is not a liar. What he says is going to take place will, and even though we may get down from time to time and wonder when our people are going to wake up, that appears to be happening.
It does seem that way. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up. I, of course, now that I'm retired, I have the honor and privilege to be able to sit and monitor a lot of different channels, alternative news, all of it. I don't watch any mainstream anything. And there seems to be an awful lot of indicators coming from the best sources that I know that there are some really significant events happening. Of course, the biggest, one of the biggest was not that John McCain died from heart failure or cancer. He was actually executed, is what the rumors on the street are starting to say. Executed in the sense that he basically was told that we can take you and drag you in front of a court or a tribunal, and all of your dirty laundry will be presented to the public, or you can take this pill and end it right now, that type of thing. So along with that, I'm hearing that Hillary is in big trouble, Brennan is in big trouble, Hussein, the Muslim traitor that occupied the White House, is in trouble, and even Angela Merkel over in Germany is in trouble. And these could come out this week or as early as next week. So I see. Hold on a minute there, Mike. But anyway, there are a lot of indications then that the awakening is going on. A lot of our people seem to realize that, you know, we turned our back on our Heavenly Father and we paid a very dear price. And they seem to think that we need to repent of that. Or is that how you see it or not?
I do. And, you know, Dan, even for those people who don't understand what the source of the punishment is, we talk all the time, you and I, about how our people don't seem to understand cause and effect. But what we're seeing is, especially in Europe now, because maybe things hit there first, we are seeing nationalist leaders that are unashamedly just speaking out openly, saying, no, we will not accept a single non-white, non-Christian immigrant into our countries. As everybody's seen, even in the mainstream media, they're trying to paint the leader of Hungary, Mr. Orban, as some kind of a monster because he doesn't want to accept immigrants. And even his foreign minister has spoken up openly in a lot of interviews recently and said, no, there is nothing that the European Union, which is just some, you know, it's just a fake globalist entity of unelected bureaucrats looking to destroy Europe. There is nothing that the EU can levy upon us in terms of punishment that would be worse than what accepting these immigrants, these so-called refugees, which are brown men of fighting age, mostly, who have abandoned their own wives and children and their own countries as basically as an invasion force. So again, to summarize, whether it's Austria, who's elected a very right-wing nationalist government, Poland, Hungary, Sweden is waking up. And our people are starting to see, even if they don't understand that it is the cause and effect of disobeying the Father, they're seeing it. They're understanding that this is, in fact, the consequences of not obeying the command of be ye separate.
Yeah, amen to that. So it's a little bit like Ezekiel 37 talks about the valley of dead and dry bones. Spiritually speaking, they're starting to get it. They may not know the ins and outs and nuts and bolts of it like those of us that know the identity message, but they are picking up on the common sense down at your very gut level idea that something is terribly wrong. It's the white nations that are being invaded and flooded, and these people are criminals for the most part. And it's a heavily Jewish influence on every white nation's immigration policy. It is obviously Jewish in design, and they admit it, like that female specter over in Germany. Of course, over here it was Jacob Javits and his little band of Talmud thumpers in Washington in the 1960s, and then they threw Ted Kennedy's face up there as if he had something to do with it, and all he was a drunk and a womanizer, so they they gave it an Anglo-looking face saying Ted Kennedy was sponsoring it, when really all Ted Kennedy did was obey his Jewish bosses and sign whatever they told him to sign and make statements. Mm-hmm. But it was Jacob Javits, the Zionist communist that was behind it, and all of his cronies to basically undermine America. So 1960s was when the all-out push to take America from its Christian constitutional Republican roots and take us in towards the outright communist venue that we've been dealing with for over 50 years now. So I'm really tickled now that I can see so many people that are starting to get that. We still have too many of our people that are buying into this racial BS that race doesn't matter and the race mixing doesn't matter. It may take a little longer to get them to learn that, but at least they're waking up to the fact that this is an anti-white genocide that's being done in all our nations with this immigration policy.
Yeah, it's not an accident, Dan. What's so funny or terribly sad, actually, is that in 65, I think it was, when Jacob Javits and his group pushed that Immigration Act, first of all, they jumped up and down when it did get passed and said, open the floodgates. After they swore up and down that to pass such a law would not change the demographic content of the United States of America. And even the Kennedys, Teddy and the entire family just looked, I mean, they tried to shame Americans by saying, hey, you know, you're all immigrants, just like we're here in today. You come from immigrants. And how could you possibly not want to let these people in? Well, even the dullest of our people today, the not so bright, are seeing that, whoa, wait a second. If this is how whites, the descendants of those who settled and built this country, if this is how they're getting treated today by minorities, when we're still a 63% majority in this country, how is it going to go for us when, and as all the Hispanics and the blacks and Asians jump up and down and hoot and holler every day, oh, whites are soon going to be a minority in their own countries, especially like we're seeing in London, in England. Look at the treatment. Look at the treatment that whites get in their own countries while they're the majority. Then look overseas. Look at what's going on in South Africa today. These mm-hmm. are people, farmers, not invaders, white farmers who have been in those lands for nearly 400 years, are being treated just so they're being raped and murdered. They're having their property stolen from them. It is literally being taken from them without compensation. And when the president of the United States speaks up about it and says that he is going to have his administration investigate it, when this Malema, who's the head of this African EFF party, is on tape and quoted as saying, we are not calling for the slaughter of whites yet. When he's pressed about that quote, you know what his answer is? Oh, crybabies. So this is what we have to look forward to. People, you've got to wake up. It is the ultimate double standard that when whites are the majority in their own country, they're supposed to sweat and slave and work all day to give away 50% or more of their resources to non-whites who hate them so that non-white children can have college educations and nice homes and food and clothing. Every single company that I've ever worked at, every single company I've ever heard of, if you don't preach the nonsense, if you don't preach the dogma of diversity is our strength, you can actually lose your job. Well, how are whites being treated in South Africa? How are whites treated in any country where they're not the majority? We know what happens. And if anybody thinks that it's going to go well for whites in their own lands, whether it's Europe, Australia, South Africa, here in the United States, if we think it's going to go well for us when we are not the majority any longer, we're crazy. These people they don't love us now. They hate us, and they look at those who are helping them take over white countries as useful idiots, and they'll be the first to go when the hammer falls.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, the good news is that people are finally waking up to that. I see it everywhere. I read a good article that was written by a former Navy SEAL that finally shook the dust off his head and cleaned out his ears and took a hard look at the whole racial thing and realized that we are being played for fools, the white race is. Because you look at all these other countries, for instance, Itzalai, the very home of these termites that are eating away at our nation, and it's solidly Jewish. Their Knesset is 100% Jewish. They've pretty much murdered and oppressed the Palestinians to where they almost don't exist over there, and the Palestinians have no say, no power, no nothing. So the very people claiming that we, the white race, need to embrace all these other races, they themselves are probably the most racist people on earth. So the hypocrisy, as Christ told us and warned us in the book of Luke, that we would recognize the Pharisees, we would recognize the leaven of the Pharisees because of its hypocritical content. And hypocrite, of course, is somebody pretending to be one thing when they're actually something else. And the Jews are probably the consummate hypocrites on earth. There is no more race of people more hypocritical than the Jewish race. That's just a fact. All you got to do is watch these Jewish traitors in Washington spewing their garbage in their speeches and in their announcements, and it's always hypocritical. For instance, even in the area of gun control, you know, they've been shown to be absolute hypocrites on that, because they themselves either own guns or they pay guys with guns to offer them protection wherever they go. So you know, they're telling you and I to disarm, which is what all Zionist communists want you to do, disarm, so it's easier for their comrades to take over, like they did in Russia. But they themselves often have weapons or have people with weapons around them all the time. So, you know, Christ gave us the answer. You know, look for the hypocrisy.
It is. It's utter hypocrisy. And just listen to what we've been talking about so far. Just for anybody who's listening to this program, we don't hate anybody. This is a program about love for our own people. And just ask yourself, let's say you turn this broadcast on and you say to yourself, oh, my, listen to what they're saying. It's all really just ask yourself these questions. Why is it okay for every other people on earth to have their own place? Why is it okay for the Kenyans to have Kenya? Why is it okay for Japan to be Japanese or China to be Chinese? Why? Why is that okay? The utter horror of a white man ever stepping foot on a country. He's instantly called a colonialist. But it's always okay for everybody on the planet to move into a white country and you're called a racist. If a white person, whether a German, French, Swedish, any white person on earth wants to have their own country, they're immediately told, why? You don't have any culture. You don't have anything unique about you. You should open your borders and let everybody in who is not like you, and you should take all of your resources and give them away to people who brag every day about how many kids they have and how so few white children and white babies are born, and we're going to replace you in your own countries. That sounds like something that comes from a science fiction slash horror movie, but that is exactly what's happening. And it is somehow twisted and turned and flipped upside down that I hate other people because I actually want my children to look like me someday. I want my grandchildren to look like me and to inherit the things that I've built and created and devised. I mean, it is unbelievable the utter hypocrisy of all of these people on earth who talk about diversity and how everybody should have. I mean, it's actually in the United Nations bylaws that says that every people is entitled to have their own homeland, and any attempt to prevent them from having their own homeland can be considered genocide. But yeah. if the Germans speak up and say, why do we have to open our borders and let everyone who is not German into our country, they're called a racist. Well, look at the population of China. Could you imagine going to China and planting an American flag in the middle of Tiananmen Square and saying, I demand that you pay for my education, my food, my clothes, and I hate all of you people who are paying for it for me and welcomed me as a guest.
Right.
And it is my goal to destroy whatever label they would have for the Chinese patriarchy. You would be locked up and thrown in prison, if not executed on the spot. You can't do that in Mexico. You can't do that in the Congo. You can't do it in Djibouti or in Saudi Arabia. You can't do it anywhere but in a white country. And if Whitey speaks up, he's evil. But you know what? Even the most pleasant and calm and loving white Christian person is saying, whoa, something's wrong here. I'm expected to treat everyone else in the world a certain way, but if I speak up and demand that reciprocal treatment from someone else, I'm evil. No. Even sociologists are starting to say, whoa, maybe the reason why Japanese people are so high-functioning and respectful and their society works so well is because they have a homogeneous society. They have a high trust society where everybody has basically the same morals and values and culture. We don't hate anybody on this program. We love our own people. We love our own kind. And we're not going to go quietly into the night, as the Jew hypocrites say. We are going to fight. We're going to speak up. And we're going to defend our people, our women, our children, our homelands, and if anybody doesn't like it, they can get out. Because it's not going to be, we're not looking for a war, but it's going to get ugly if this doesn't stop.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, that's kind of what I meant by the storm is here. It's not only the political storm, but it's also the storm by racial tension. They wanted the racial tension, they being, of course, the Jews. Their idea was that the racial tension would turn into a confrontation and embattlement between us and the other races so that we were both distracted and our numbers would be diminished in an open conflict with one another. The problem, typical of Jews, is their hubris outdoes them. Okay, so their overconfidence and vanity, as the scripture says, their vanity would be their undoing, and in the Jews' case, it is. Their vanity sticks out like a sore thumb. And so they thought this was all in the bag. They'd done enough lying through the mainstream media. They'd done enough lying in universities. They did enough lying in government that they thought this would be a done deal, and then they could just kind of clean up a little bit, take care of the few white patriots that survive. And then the rest of them would go the way our Russian cousins went 100 years ago when the Bolsheviks murdered upwards of 100 million white men, women, and children of Christian faith in Russia. So it was a Jewish Zionist defeat of Russia, Christian Russia, and that's what most people don't seem to understand. Just like in, you mentioned South Africa, the average dimwit out there doesn't even know that the tip of South Africa was virtually uninhabited when the Boers, and Boer is just Afrikaans for farmer, when the farmers of German ancestry showed up in South Africa, it was basically a wasteland. It's not like they invaded and killed off a bunch of blacks, which is the impression they want everybody to have in the fake news. The truth of the matter was it was a wasteland. They went in there with the white man's work ethic and the white man's ability to turn a wasteland into a paradise and turn it into a beautiful nation. Ask anybody that lived up until the 1960s and 70s in South Africa, they'll tell you it was an absolutely paradise. And of course, every time the white man builds something, the freeloaders are not far behind, and that includes the Jews. And what they did is they did to the South Africans the same thing they're trying to do here. They went in and bought off traitors amongst our race to go along with their programs. At the same time, blacks wanted the bennies, and so they came in there for jobs and everything else so that they could find housing and education and medicine and all that that comes with white civilization. And then around the 1960s and 70s, the Jewish press, who, you know, they turned around and called it something different, just like they call a baby a fetus so that we'll buy into the whole idea you can murder a baby. Well, they called it apartheid. Oh, most white people didn't even have a clue what the hell that meant, but they put so much negativity with it that they just kept pushing for years, apartheid. Oh, it's terrible. White rule in South Africa. At no time did they go into the history of South Africa to say what really happened. They pushed it that as if Africa belongs to blacks. Well, take a look at history, folks. There's a whole lot of Africa that was never black, especially in the north. And now yeah. In the South as well. I mean, so they completely twist history so that everybody cheered when Mandela and his communists, by the way, his communist African National Congress took over, and it's been a hellhole ever since. But you know what was weird? I remember all the stories in the paper because I was a teenager when that was going on. Every day there was an anti-white apartheid story in the paper, at least one story every single day in the newspaper. And after the communists took over under Mandela, there wasn't one article from that point on because of all the crime, the rape, all of the services, the electrical, the water, etc., all fell into disrepair. Even to this day, I have friends that email me from over there. They have all kinds of brownouts and problems. They got rape gates on all their windows and doors. It's just a hellhole over there. But the Jewish media didn't report one single story on what a devastation it was to South Africa when the black terrorist murderer Mandela and his butchering, murdering wife went down there, and now they're being held up by the Jewish media, just like the Jewish media is holding up John McCain, who is one of the biggest pieces of shit that ever walked this earth. Excuse my French, but really, that's what he was, a great big POS.
So, but check it out. I mean, think of it logically for a second, right, Dan? All your points, very well taken. To the listeners, just think of this for a second. Think of these facts, not your emotions, not thinking of invading white armies, taking over Wakanda like the movies would like us to think. Imagine South Africa as a wasteland. I shouldn't even say wasteland, a desert, completely undeveloped. Nobody was living there in 1652 when white Dutch and French Huguenots and other Protestant white peoples showed up and said, whoa, this looks like a nice place to live. And you know what? These weren't armies. These were grandmas and grandpas and moms and pops and kids with wooden wagons and oxen and cows and chickens and donkeys, and they turned the place into a paradise. In less than 400 years, those white people, the same people, same blood, same genetics who built Europe, these people went into a place that was a desert. And now what does South Africa have? It produces more electric power than the rest of the continent combined. It has more clean running water than the rest of the continent combined. It has more paved roads than the rest of the continent combined. In other words, what? Civilization. And in places that blacks have lived uninterrupted for possibly hundreds of thousands of years, some of them still don't have written languages or the wheel or anything resembling civilization. Yet, we're supposed to believe the Jewish media when they say, oh, all of Africa belongs to black people simply because they're black and it's their dirt. It is utter nonsense. We talked, Dan, offline about the YouTube videos that a pastor, David Manning, produces. He's got a church up in Harlem, and he says it himself. He says, in 3,000 years, blacks have not produced anything approaching civilization on their own. Well, Dan, what are we seeing today? We're seeing white farmers that were run out of Zimbabwe, and the blacks that wanted them all out, are now welcoming them back with tears and hugs and songs and dances because they know they can't run it without them. They had no jobs, no food. The place was going back to a desert. Well, everybody just look up. Black workers throw parties and celebrations when white farmers return. I mean, this is the same story over and over and over again. Look at Detroit. Look at Chicago. Look at Philadelphia. Look at St. Louis. White people build a civilization. They build a city. The liberals, the bleeding hearts, give it away to people who have never demonstrated they can build anything, and it turns to feces in a couple generations. And then it's Whitey's fault because he fled.
Yeah.
It's
always the Jew, okay? Now, a lot of people say you guys are fixated on Jews. Well, if Jews are causing 99% of your problems, I think they're going to draw some fire, okay? So we talk a lot about Jews because it's kind of strange, but every time we look at a problem, we can trace it back to a Jew. Now, down here in Florida, the Democratic primaries picked their candidate, and oh my gosh, there's Bernie Sanders, good old Jewish Zionist piece of shit, Bernie Sanders, the communist of the day, flavor of the day, is sitting there touting who we should pick to be governor of Florida for the first time. And who is it but an African that's the mayor of Tallahassee? And Tallahassee has the highest crime rate per capita of any city in Florida. Now, that's quite a credential. That's quite a resume, Bernie. But can't you see the same thing? It's the same thing they did in South Africa. The Jew comes in there, and because unsuspecting whites can't seem to differentiate between the satanic Jew and other white people. I mean, it's amazing how many people think that we're synonymous. Well, Dan, you're putting down a white guy. No, he's a Jew, you dumbass. A Jew and a white person are completely different people, genetically, culturally, and every other way imaginable. They are not of us. What do you think the Bible means, folks, when it says wolves And excuse me for using wolves, because wolves are actually more beneficial to mankind than a Jew is. But the Bible does say wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, a predator who looks on the outside like you, but inside he ain't anything like you at all. He is a predator. He's on the prowl to devour, to kill you and take what you've got. And tell me, Michael, is that not the history of the Jew on this earth?
There is no doubt about it. And what's, again, to get back to my point before, why is it hate for us to realize who the enemy is? You're standing on a corner, you see somebody get murdered or robbed or what have you, and you raise your hand and you say, hey, I saw you commit a crime. Well, you're the bad guy because you noticed and spoke up about it? No. And this isn't a single crime. This has been millennia of controlling the banking and finance systems of other people's countries, being welcomed in to white nations and being told, yes, come in, come in, come in. We don't hate anybody. Just come in and blend in and assimilate. Well, what happens? What happens in a very short period of time? It happens over and over and over again. They backstab the people who welcome them. Who controls the media in the United States? Jews, and they brag about it. Look at the Jerusalem Post. Look at Haaretz. Look at Time Magazine. Look at New York Times. They don't deny it anymore. They openly say, we used to try to hide it because we didn't want it stopped. But now that we control the media, yeah, we do. They control finance. They control Wall Street. They control the Pentagon. They control Congress. People, if this is the first time you've ever listened to this program, ask yourself this. What issue, upon what issue will Congress on both sides of the aisle stand up and give roaring applause and a standing ovation? On what, can you think of one? What issue? To whom would that happen? One issue, Israel. No matter who the prime minister is, no matter how many white kids, boys and girls, have died in foreign wars, no matter how much foreign aid and military aid they milk out of us, no matter how much trouble they cause for the United States of America, we're somehow supposed to believe that they're our greatest ally, quote unquote, and Democrats and Republicans alike both stand up and give roaring applause in Congress when Benjamin Netanyahu speaks. Ask yourself why. What other issue? They can't agree on a budget, health care, things that the American people are demanding that their elected representatives do to make our lives better. They can't agree on a damn thing. But, oh, boy, if Israel is there, they wet their pants.
Well, they've been bought and paid for. I mean, look, Cynthia McKinney, McKinney. Cynthia McKinney was a black lady from, I think, Georgia that was in Congress, and she is one, and bless her heart for that. She's one of the very few who refused to sign the loyalty oath to the bastard nation of It's a Lie. In Congress, and so the Jews went after her, supporting everybody that would run against her by giving as much money to them as they could get away with, and also using their control of the press to try to put McKinney down as not doing her job, and the smear campaigns that the Jews are famous for. So here, that brought to light just how many in Congress have sworn an oath to a foreign country who is our enemy, by the way. Everything the Jews do is against the betterment of the United States of America. The greatest spies, Pollard, Rosenbergs, etc., all Jewish. 9/11, who was making the films and dancing as the Twin Towers came down? Jews. Who did they round up? 200 of them within a few days of that, the FBI did, for suspicion of espionage and doing treasonous work in the United States. Let's see, Jews. Oh, how about that? So, you know, these are supposed to be such a great ally, but you know why that is, Michael, because we have prostitutes in our so-called churches. We have prostitutes that go by the title of preachers because they also have sworn allegiance to Satan's kids to preach this nonsensical lie that they're the people of the Bible, when even their own kind, Arthur Koestler, wrote the book 13th Tribe, and it goes into great lengths as to where 95% of these Khazars came from, and they're not even remotely related. I mean, not one drop of Semitic blood in them through Shem, and so they are completely without basis for claiming to be of the Bible or have a right to Palestine, which they don't. And besides, Palestine was never to be occupied by the real Israelites again anyway. So they are fake and fraud. They are not good for the United States. They're not actually good for anything in this world. And that's why we talk about Ezekiel 25, verse 14, and Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, all the time, because that's a double witness that Yahweh says an exposure of these people will come, and the world, particularly the Israelites, will arise, and basically, according to Obadiah, these people will be exterminated because of their criminality and all of the absolutely hideous things that they have done on this earth. And you know what's coming out, and that's why I said part of the agenda tonight is the storm is here. It's not just the Jewish Pope and the criminality of him and the covering up of the pedophilia and the harvesting of organs and all the things that the Vatican has covered up and paid for and taken part in. That's being exposed, but so are these other Jewish organizations and people like the Rothschilds and George Soros. Their people are starting to follow the money. The money will always take you back to who's causing the trouble. And as you said, the Jews with their Babylonian money system, which is completely a fiat currency system, money created out of thin air by magic. Here we go with Nakash, magicians or deceivers, and that's what the Jews are. Okay, so they've got this system that allows them to create money in computers out of thin air, and they use that money to debase every society, every culture, buy up our children. Their organs are harvested. Sometimes it's adults. When the evil that these people have done, Q has not revealed at all, because he said that what these people have been up to is so ugly and so demonic, it's going to freak people out. Some people will actually have heart attacks. Some people will actually jump off buildings, because this fake and phony world we live in, that they think these Hollywood stars are such good people and the Pope is a good guy and the Roman Catholic Church can be trusted, and that prostitute down at the Baptist church and the prostitutes over at the Methodist church, etc. These are all good people and godly and blah. When they find out what these clowns have been up to, they're going to find out that their whole world has been a lie. And they don't know where little Johnny and Susie disappeared to 10 years ago. When they find out what actually happened to them inside, down in the basement of monasteries, down in the basement of the rich and famous, I'll tell you, as Q has said, when these creatures are completely outed, it won't be safe for them to walk down any street. I pray for that day, Michael. I pray for it.
Me too. What about let's start with the money system. Again, for anybody who's listening to this program for the first time, don't believe a single word we say. Do the research yourself. Go and read a book by G. Edward Griffin called The Creature of Jekyll Island, where it talks about how we used to have a free money system, a legitimate money system, where the dollar was backed by gold. And the currency was created by the government of the United States. Well, Jekyll Island, Georgia, was a hangout of a lot of these globalist Jews, and they all decided, hey, let's go have a meeting and come up with a scheme by which we can get in the pockets of the United States government. And their scheme was the Federal Reserve. So they came up with a way by which six international banks would have shares of the National Bank of the United States that would create money out of thin air. And then it basically just IOUs, and would lend that money to the United States government at interest. So let me ask you a question. Dan, if I came to you and I said, hey, let me borrow a dollar, and you lent me a dollar, and you charged me interest, and then for me to pay you back, I had to get another dollar, right? Because I didn't just have to pay you back the dollar I borrowed from you. Now I owed you interest. Well, where am I going to get another dollar from? Oh, you create another one out of thin air, charge me interest. Now I owe you two plus interest on two. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's an impossibility. It is a mathematical impossibility for the United States under the Federal Reserve System, where it's borrowing money from international banks at interest. It's impossible for the American people to ever pay down this deficit. It's impossible. So when you see it going up and up and up and up, and we get to the point where we can't even pay the interest, why doesn't anybody ever say, who do we owe this money to? It's to six Jew international banks, people. Wake up. That's how they have so much power over us, because the borrower is the slave to the lender. That is a simple principle that we were taught, and we didn't listen to our God. We didn't listen to our Father. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Wake up. Wake up.
Amen to
even
that.
Even the Bushes said it. They said, and Henry Ford also said it, if the American people knew what the American money system was about, they'd be in the streets with pitchforks and torches tomorrow. I mean, this idea that we have to borrow our money from foreign banks, what are you talking about? The most productive, powerful, brilliant people that have ever lived on the face of the earth, the American people, have to borrow their money from foreign banks? Why can't our own government create our own money? If there's nothing backing it, why do we have to get it from strangers? Why can't we create that and only create the amount of currency to match the productivity of the American people? Hey,
amen.
That's what the Germans did in World War II to get out of being the most degraded and poor nation in Europe to being an economic superpower and a military superpower. Whether you believe what your Jewish history teacher told you in grade school or not, the fact is that using a money system that was created by the German government for the German people, that was the reason that the international Jew bankers declared war on Germany, because they said, uh-oh, what if the rest of the world sees that they don't need Rothschild International Jew bankers?
Right.
Dan,
and that
always,
was the early.
It always comes down to them.
Yep. Yeah, that was in the early 1930s, I believe, that they declared war on Germany, economic war. And so when people say the Germans, you know, that the Germans just naturally hated the Jews, that's all bullshit. Made up fiction to get you to hate Germany and Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists. They never called themselves Nazis, by the way. I'm getting sick and tired of these so-called alt-right and alternative media clowns that are sitting there trying to tell us how we've been lied to by the mainstream media, and then they turn around and use a fictitious term, Nazi, as if that's what the Germans called themselves. Ashkenazis were Jews, and that's their nickname, Nazis. So anybody that was doing criminal things in the world of finance or medicine, those were Jews. Those are the Nazis. The Germans never referred to themselves as Nazis. They were National Socialists, period. And the socialism they were talking about is where the state's job is to take care of the people. That was their form of socialism. The state's job is to always take care of, protect, and nurture their people. So this whole thing, with I'm sick hearing it.
Yeah. It's the only purpose of government. Just think about it, people. What is the purpose of a government? To protect the lives, the rights, and the property of the people who created the government. What is a representative form of government? Not the hellish system that we have, where we elect somebody who promises to do our will and then does the exact opposite. And that's not hyperbole. What people on earth vote to have their 50% of their fruits of their labor stolen from them and have it given to people who openly say, we hate you and can't wait till you die?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not, again, it's not hyperbole. Just look it up. Do the research yourselves, people. You're in danger. You know, I have to say something very, very quickly, Dan. I love my parents. I love them to death. When I talk to my mom about these things, she says, you know what? I've only got a few years left, and I'm not going to worry about this. You know what woke her up recently? When I said, what about your grandchildren? What about your great-grandchildren?
Right.
You worried about going on cruises and gambling and, you know, how many things you plastic pieces of crap you can order from China, from Home Shopping Channel. What about your grandchildren? Don't say you're not going to get involved, you're not going to help, you're not going to speak up. Whoever takes that stance is a coward. Mm-hmm. If you can't speak up because you care about your own blood, your own people, your own family, and you just wander around all day, but what about my job? What if somebody calls me? Really, Dan? Calls us a name?
Yeah.
You're going to watch your people die off? You're going to watch your daughters raped? You're going to watch the nation that your people built turn into a shithole because you're afraid somebody's going to call you a name?
Yeah.
Come on.
Pretty pathetic, isn't it? Hey, we got Jimmy on the call here, so let's see what he's got to say. Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, real quick, and hey, Mike, nice to hear your comments. And Dan, I'll keep this short, and hopefully you'll bring me in later in the show. But I just wanted to, you know, I like Occam's razor when I engineer things and keep it simple. And to the comment that Mike made, which prompted me to do the Star 6, what people need to realize, and please listen carefully to me, our government, our senators, our city council, our county council, our school boards, what people have failed to remember is they are the elected folks that are our spokesmen and ladies. So let's say you and Mike and I own a company and we want to have somebody speak for the company on behalf of the company that understands the company, understands our direction, our morals. Typically that's called the public information officer. This is what people have forgotten. And I really don't have a question. I'm just saying we all sit here, myself included, And we get all upset and all pissed off at Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters with her impeach 45 and everything that I've been listening to Mike say, which is spot on, and Dan, spot on. But I'm going to say this, and I'll yield, and thank you for taking my little interruption here. People need to realize these people are not in charge of us. We are in charge of them, and they have failed to respect that for many years. When's the last time you wrote a congressman? I used to do it all the time. Oh, thank you, Mr. Aiken, for your concern in your community and blah, 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 blah. And maybe one sentence of bullshit. And then if we could be of any further help, please don't hesitate to call and contact us again. Gentlemen, if that was my employee...
Yeah, would have fired him.
Well, I'm going to yield. I made my point, but Mike, thanks for your time, and Dan, I'm listening with intent. I'm going to go back to mute, and, you know, I've been lumberjack all day, so I'm biting my tongue, but I love listening to you guys, and I'm going to sit on standby, and if you want my commentaries at the end of the show, I stand ready, sir. And Mike, God bless you and your gift of time, and I yield.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, we have forgotten that they work for us. They're our servants, actually, and that's because, again, through the media, think about this, Michael, that, you know, the great image of the beast, television, the image controlled by and owned by the beast, that's what image of the beast means. That image created and owned by the beast. That thing is what changed our society, because the Jews went in there and immediately took over Hollywood and immediately gobbled up all the patents and everything that had to do with the motion picture industry, radio, and then when television came out, they jumped on top of that. So you can do the research yourself, folks. We've already done it. So the Jews grab these forms of controlling what our people see and hear. And with that, they started degrading right around the time of the end of the 1960s into the 1970s with All in the Family and all these other shows. They started putting down white men as idiots, as bigoted. Anything that was pro-white was ridiculous. They started promoting feminism and all this other stuff, and typically the actors and actresses were all Jews, Rob Reiner, all the rest of them, our kikes, and they're up there putting us on, and our people are sitting in their lounge chairs watching this garbage, and they're laughing at these people destroying your culture. And that's what I found to be amazing. Everybody wants to laugh. I got no problem with that. But number one, why is it always the Jew that's telling us, no matter what side of the argument you're listening to, it's always a Jew? And why are you sitting there laughing as this group of invaders, these termites, are putting these productions together and completely debasing your Christian constitutional republic? What happened to white
people? About the porn industry? What about the pornography industry? They don't even hide it anymore. You want to really get a from the disgusting serpent's mouth of the full story, you got to get a book called An Empire of Their Own. It is by a Jew, and it has a movie companion that comes with it that goes through the entire history of how the Jews took over Hollywood. To your point about the motion picture industry, Thomas Edison tried to sue them for stealing his technology, and they fled out to California and paid off enough people to the point where the lawsuits never went anywhere. But long story short, they openly admit that they use the motion picture industry to twist the minds of Americans and to push their agenda. There's a many-fold agenda, but I'll give you an example. How many people knew that the movie Schindler's List by Steven Spielberg was based on a fiction novel? How many people knew that? How many people knew that that book, Schindler's List, received an award for best fiction novel? Fiction, people. Fiction.
They don't even know what fiction means anymore, Mike.
Why do you think it's against the law in certain countries to even discuss, not investigate, if the Holocaust, the Holocaust, is supposedly the greatest crime against humanity in history? How come nobody's allowed to investigate it? What if you wanted to say it was 6,000,001 Jews that died? You're not allowed to in Germany. Our people get locked up if they say anything that is contrary to what has been called the accepted story of what happened.
You know what the real kicker is, Mike? It was some, I think it was a couple years ago, Haaretz is the leading newspaper in that bastard nation over there. So it's their own newspaper. Haaretz put an article out a couple years ago where they admitted that 6 million was untenable. In other words, we got to stop pushing the 6 million, at least amongst our own people, because even younger Jews are going, wait a minute, that's mathematically impossible. Unless you're a complete idiot, the numbers don't match up. So maybe we should revise it. And they even put on their documentation over there and admitted, well, 6 million's not right. We believe it's actually 4 million. The point being, is there still people being put in jail, as you said, in Germany and other countries of Europe and Canada? People are being prosecuted and doing jail time for challenging the narrative of the 6 million when the Jews themselves, in their own little hive over there in Palestine, in the most prolific newspaper, had an article talking about 6 million is a completely fictitious number, and it needs to be revised.
I'm looking at an article in Haaretz.com right now that says that fewer than 1 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust per an ultra-Orthodox rabbi. If you look at the percent of assimilation that there was in Europe, it's impossible. There weren't even 6 million people, Jewish people, in Europe.
Right.
And look at who gets the benefits today from all that. Do you realize that if you were alive, you didn't have to even live in the country that was occupied? If you had property, meaning if you had a home in Belgium and you were Jewish and you fled before the Germans ever invaded, you get a pension today. You get a pension. And you could get it from multiple countries if you happen to have businesses in multiple countries. Look at the way that these people have just leveraged that fairy tale to the hilt, to bilk so many billions and billions of dollars out of people that weren't even affected by the war. It is unbelievable what these people will stoop to.
Well, the fact that they do this crap is not what is a mystery to me. They're Jews. It's what they always do. Their lips are moving. They're lying. It's the gullibility and insanity of the white race. That's what I don't understand. The complete lack of any intestinal fortitude within the white race, the complete lack of any logical and rational thinking, the complete adoration of people who are working night and day like termites to undermine your whole culture and destroy you as a race. Unbelievable that white people in this day and age, with all the information that's available out there, still don't get it. Praise Yahweh that a large number of people are waking up. I saw things about Finland and Sweden, over in the United Kingdom. So there are a remnant of our people that's growing every day, and that's why the Jews are so panicked right now in trying to get all kinds of legislation, like in Europe, to where you can't even question anything, without being persecuted and thrown in jail and maybe even murdered, because they have done that as well. They murdered Arthur Koestler and his wife for writing the book, The 13th Tribe. So they'll kill their own for letting out this information. So, you know, thank God Yahweh's in charge, because if it were up to me, you know, I think I would have hit the reset button a long time ago, because there's just so little life left in the average white man and woman today. There's no pride. You know, the word Aryan, we were known as the Aryan people. The word Aryan comes from Sanskrit, and it means noble, the noble people. In fact, that's where the word nobleman comes from, and gentleman, back in the 1700s and 1600s. All right, a gentleman wasn't that he was gentle; he was Gentile. He was noble. Okay, our people don't even know what nobility means anymore. They scrabble for the scraps from the Jews' table when we are the inheritors of the earth. Yahweh put Adam here to be fruitful, to multiply and subdue and take care of the earth. The earth is in travail right now. We're polluting the air, polluting the water, GMOs, adulterated seeds, adulterated animals, plants, and fish life. All because these people can't leave well enough alone. It's what the Jew has always done. He is the ultimate and consummate Antichrist. And it's right
stealing
in the Bible.
The resources of other countries constantly. Look at what just happened in Peru. Did anybody in the mainstream media ever put out the story about this Jew who wasn't even born in Peru? He's not Peruvian. He's a Jew. This president of Peru that was just ousted for his corruption and his cronyism. Look at what's going on in Colombia and Venezuela right now. I mean, you folks, I'm serious. This is way too short a program to dig deep into this, but you've got to look at your history. Is it any surprise? Is it any surprise that the German people welcomed the Jews into Germany? They had no other place to go. They had been, the Ashkenazis had been expelled from so many different places. They got welcomed into Germany. And then look at the way they were treated. Look at the way the Jews treated their host. A Warburg, a Jew, sat on both sides of the table at the Treaty of Versailles to divvy up the spoils after World War I, and within less than a decade, almost every single German property owner, real white Germanic property owners, were eating out of garbage cans in their own countries while these Jews owned palaces. You look at these stories we see all the time, these books and these movies about, I'm a German person whose wealth was stolen from me from the Germans. Really? I thought Germany was a broke country. I thought Germany was in poverty. I thought Germany was in a depression. Gee, how did you become so ultra wealthy and collect palaces and gold and the artwork not produced by your hands, Jew, because you can't produce anything that's beautiful to look at? How did you get your hands on all this stuff? Oh, gee, we never hear that side of the story, though, right? How the German people themselves were literally living on the street and prostituting their own pregnant wives and daughters out in Berlin while the Jew lived in the Germans' palaces. How did that happen? Gee, what's happening in America today? Folks, it's happened before, over and over and over and over again. And then these people get expelled, and then they say, oh, how we've suffered. When does a Jew ever get his hands dirty and build something or dig in the dirt and plant crops and create anything or build? When do they ever produce anything? Never. They are absolute They're like a tick on the back of the neck of the white man, and he'll never, ever, ever get rid of them unless he wakes up. These people are not our people. They're not our kind. Their skin color may be similar to ours, but inside they do not have a drop of Israelite blood.
Nope. And they are completely opposite us in the spiritual context. They have no remorse, no spirituality, no compassion. They are heartless, just as Christ said of them. They're here to steal, to kill, and destroy. And because the Christ was walking around telling everybody what these people were up to, they orchestrated a kangaroo court and bribed the Romans and forced the Romans' hands, even though Pontius Pilate himself did not want to crucify Christ. In fact, he even stated, and it's in the Bible, I find no fault in this man. In his letter to Tiberius Caesar, he even states that, you know, Christ stood head and shoulders above the average Palestinian at that time. He was intelligent, he was mild-mannered, he was well-spoken, he was well-liked. And it's like, what do you mean crucify this guy? What the hell? Okay, so the Jew
has done
this.
Spoke out against the Jews.
Exactly.
He spoke out against the Jews. Cicero said the same thing.
Yep.
Cicero said the
Nothing
same thing.
New.
One of the greatest attorneys, and not in the Jew sense. He was a public defendant. He was an abrogado, meaning the average person was not allowed to defend themselves in court, and you abrogated your responsibility to someone who could impassionately and objectively represent your rights under the law, natural law, not these millions of made-up Jew laws that are crammed in books that can be pulled out of their asses and enforced when they feel like it. No, real natural law based on the rights that our Creator gave us. They don't belong in our societies. I don't hate anybody. I don't want to see harm come to anybody. But I'll tell you, as you said, their hubris has pushed us to the point where we have to defend ourselves now. And I'll tell you, I don't know what anybody else thinks about this. But what happens if Whitey doesn't show up to work tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if Whitey doesn't grow the crops and doesn't work the power plants and doesn't show up for, work as the cop and the school teacher and the principal and, you know, running all the stores and the manufacturing plants? You know what happens? The Jew loses. We'll be able to get on because we'll cooperate with each other. The Jew is the one that loses, because if we're not producing anything, they can't suck the life out of us. So just mm-hmm. stay home. I'm beginning to think that we need to use that model. Maybe they want us to go to war so that they can use their government and their military to pick us off. Part of me thinks, just stay home. Don't help them. Don't use their dollars. Don't use their banks. Don't give them anything they need to live. If you don't give a vampire permission to enter your home and clamp down on your neck, and they can't draw blood out of you, don't assist them in anything.
Yeah, boycott them. Boycott them completely. Yeah. And they'll dry up, like you said, just like a tick. If it can't get access to your neck, the tick will dry up and die and blow away, because they don't produce anything on their own. If the people of the earth ever wake up to these creatures, you simply don't give them anything. I mean, this is how they operated. Just like Christ said, they snuck in like a thief amongst us, walked amongst us, and unfortunately a white person is a loving, caring, and sharing person, and he typically doesn't put any kind of onus on another person, and so we gave them the benefit of the doubt, and because they looked, in some cases anyway, they look a bit like us, we felt it was okay to let our guard down. That was a mistake. These people are exactly as Christ said, they're vipers, they are parasites. And so they come into our nations, and because we let our guard down, we tell them things. And here's a case in point. I worked with a Jew out in Davenport, Iowa, some years ago. He came from Canada, and this is when I was first becoming Jew savvy. And my buddy said, "Hey Dan, that guy Terry over there, he's a Jew. You know that, right?" And I said, "No, I don't know that. How do you know that?" So he told me about the features and all, and I looked, and I said, "Well, yeah, you're right about that." And then I noticed that over the course of months as we worked in that office, Terry would always come by and start interrogating people, including me. He'd want to know where your family was from, how many members in your family, how many guns do you have, what kind of guns do you have, where do you store your guns, how much money do you have, where do you keep it, where do you travel? I mean, all kinds of intrusive questions. Until one day I just looked at him and I said, "Gee, Terry, didn't I tell you?" And he looked at me and he goes, "No." And I said, "Well, it must not be any of your effing business." And he got madder than a wet hen and went off flying over to the other side of the office, and all the white guys were sitting around laughing their ass off. But it was...
Well, they don't have any shame either.
They don't have any shame, but they're always digging to get information on us to get a leg up, to figure out where they can bribe, where they can blackmail. And, you know, traitors in Washington allowed all of our communications to be run through Itzelai. Did you know that? All communications run through that bastard, traitorous nation over there, and we wonder how the Jew is able to figure out what's going on and finagle his way in and when to buy and sell and all this. Everybody says, "Oh, the Jews are masters at finance." No, they're master spies. They only get what they get because you're too damn stupid to know that they're playing you for a fool. Your Congress critters allowed them to establish that all communications and computer routing goes through them. And you don't think they're hacking in and watching what's being said and done? I mean, the gullibility of our people, and to sit there and praise these people as being so smart and everything else, like Albert Einstein. He was a clerk in a patent office, people. Last time I checked, geniuses don't work as clerks in a patent office.
Hey, isn't that funny how a clerk in a patent office got his hands on other people's patents?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Weird. How did that happen?
Exactly. That's my whole point. They aren't worth a tinker's damn on this earth. They could all vaporize tonight, and the only thing that would happen on this earth is things would get better. Everything would get better because they are a parasite, just as Philip Glidden in his book, "Are Jews Parasites?" and his book about trading on guilt and what the Jews did to the education system. And this guy's an atheist. He's not coming at it from a biblical perspective. He's coming at it as a man in teaching. Huh?
Even their own people say these things. Benjamin Freeman, Shlomo Sand. They are their own people. Those Jews that have the guts and the integrity to speak up, they say the same thing about their own kind. And they say, "Look, I hate my own people. I'm not a self-hating Jew. But if other Jews don't watch it, Whitey's going to wake up. And, gee, just like it's happened hundreds of times before, we're going to get expelled. We've got it pretty good. Why don't we stop this nonsense?" They're incapable. They're incapable of stopping.
They can't. They can't. They're just like the scorpion. Why does the scorpion sting the frog that's taken him across the lake? Because that's what scorpions do. Doesn't matter that the frog has got him on his back and the scorpion's going to drown. They still sting you. You know, you're right. Nowhere, and at no time in history has the Jew been given as much benefit and freedom in this world as he's got today. Every white nation is suffering. Every nation, even the non-white nations, are suffering because of their machinations, the intrigue, and all the things that these clowns get into. You think they would stop and say, well, let's see, we're hundreds of trillions of dollars that we've hidden in hiding in bank accounts and in companies and shadow companies and child companies, etc. We got trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars, and yet we're still bilking how many billions a year from the American taxpayer for those pieces of garbage in Palestine? Let's see, the Jews got hundreds of trillions, but we're supposed to support those bastards? I mean,
they're the only people on Earth that are allowed to have nuclear weapons, and nobody says a word about them signing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu was asked multiple times in interviews, live on the air, about the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. How come you won't sign it? How come you're so worried about everybody else getting nuclear weapons, but you have them and won't even admit you've got them? Because they're liars and hypocrites and murderers.
Right. Right.
How about this? Folks, don't believe a word I say. Look it up. What's going on in Venezuela right now? And Oppenheimer, a Jew, got some international court to give him the right to attach the assets of the Citgo oil company out of Venezuela. Well, the president of Venezuela is doing the right thing and saying, no, we're not going to allow you to take these assets. So what are the Jews doing? They're using Whitey. Whitey's money, Whitey's military, Whitey's government. The American, do you know if you had a white, if your grandmother lived in Venezuela in retirement, it is against the law for you to send her one red cent. You're not allowed to send her a penny. The sanctions on Venezuela say no business or personal wire transfers in or out of the company, I'm sorry, in or out of the country, under penalty of law, all because some Jew Oppenheimer wants his money.
Yeah, yeah.
They're arming the Colombians. And under the guise of, well, the Venezuelan people have had so many incredible human rights violations against them. Really? So you want to help the Venezuelan people so much to get food and clothing and shelter, right? That we're not allowed to send them money and aid? Does that make any sense? And how come when the Colombian government, who's done more than any other South American government to harm the United States in the you know, trillions of dollars worth of drugs that have been manufactured and shipped into this country, how come we're not attacking Colombia? How come we're not saying there's human rights violations and a clear and present danger to the interests of the United States of America? How come we're not attacking them? How come we're aiding and abetting them to invade Venezuela? Because some Jew Oppenheimer wants it.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Oppenheimer was part of the destruction of South Africa.
Yep.
It was an Oppenheimer that was part of the instigation of the British against the Boers of Africa in the Boer War. And again, Boer just means farmer. So the Boer
and
War.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And guess who was trying to run it for them? Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And he was another failure and fled. He ran from the battlefield like a coward.
Well,
but of course he helped the Jew. Well, he's half Jew. His mother was a New York Jew socialite. Nobody knows that. Look it up. Don't believe me. But of course they give the half Jew that helped the British destroy South Africa a movie in Jew Hollywood, and they award the actor, you know, the Academy Award for portraying the Jew.
Mm-hmm. Of course. When they control all the aspects, they control Hollywood, and they control the press. They control most of your government through intimidation, blackmail, etc. Well, if you've got control of all those things, you can literally create any scenario. And again, people say, well, Dan, the QAnon thing is a psyop. Okay, well, answer me this, Grasshopper. Why is it that the QAnon phenomenon is waking people up like there's no tomorrow? In fact, the QAnon posts for today were outing the Jews and their money financing many of the ills in this world, including the trafficking of the women and men and children, many of the rituals, and so they're being outed by Q. Well, that's funny. If Q's a psyop, that's a strange psyop. So, and according to Q, some of the greatest perpetrators, such as, well, McCain's gone now, but Hillary, Angela Merkel, Brennan, Clapper, and the rest of them, just today it came out that they are on an immediate hit list. And by hit, I'm not talking about a 187 kill. I'm talking about that they will go, they will be put into the limelight very shortly, just as McCain, and they're going to be given the same probable choice. Do you want to take this pill and end it now? Or do you want to go through the military tribunals and the whole world find all the dirty deeds that you've done? So the Great Awakening is going on right now, and it's a scriptural awakening because the book told us that, that at the end of the age, that all the hidden things would be known, and when the son of perdition is identified, and it's kind of interesting that Q says they're saving that bastard nation over there in Palestine for last. They're saving it for last. And I find it fitting because when they dump all the dirty deeds that these hook-nosed bastards have done to the whites and the non-whites of this world, there is going to be an outcry for their heads like no tomorrow. And the book of Revelation, and we just talked about Obadiah and Ezekiel, all talk about when the son of perdition is finally dethroned and stripped of everything, and their complete criminality in this world, the whole world will walk by, figuratively, looking down upon them and exclaiming, these are the ones? This son of perdition, these ancestors of Satan, these sick, senile, schizophrenic parasites did all this to the world? We lost how many sons and daughters in wars? We had how many children spirit cooked and sacrificed? We've had how many of our women raped and put into drugs so they could be used as prostitutes and porn stars by these people? Yeah, yeah, I think we're going to see it, Mike. I think we're going to see it in our lifetime. In fact, I think we're going to see it in the very near future. That's what I predict.
Anybody doubts any of this, if anybody doubts any of this, do not believe a single word we say. Go to your computer and look this up. This
yeah,
is
why
video.
You still can.
This is not going to be, what I'm about to tell you is not just an article on some, you know, Alex Jones website. No, this is a video of billionaire Sheldon Adelson speaking in an auditorium full of people, all of whom are, guess what, Dan? Guess what persuasion they are? I'll give
Jews.
You one guess. Yep. Speaking in an auditorium full of Jews saying we are deadly serious. What we need to do is set off a nuke, he says, in the middle of Nebraska somewhere and pretend that it was the Muslims and start a war. This was recently. This is a guy who old white people every day go and lose their life savings in his casinos. All of our, probably our parents and grandparents go to his casinos. This is how this guy became a billionaire. And he loves America so much. Yeah, for what? As a source of blood to suck. This is a guy that is actually suggesting to powerful people in powerful Jewish organizations who have ties to the Israeli government and Mossad, their spy agency, that they should set a nuke in the United States and blow it up. What? Don't believe a single word we say. Go look that up. Just do a search on Google or on YouTube. Sheldon Adelson says, blow up a nuke in America. Do you have, now this is a guy who has a dream life that most people in stupid materialistic America would just, so many people would trade places with him, right? He's an old guy with more money he'll ever be able to spend. But what is he? He's a disgusting, creepy little demon that is feeding off of us. This is a guy, again, don't believe a word I say. Go watch that video. And then when Dan puts this recording back up on his website and you get to hear the replay of this show, say to yourself, thank you, Father, for opening my eyes to what the real root cause of our problems are. This isn't a show about hate. All we're doing is telling you what these people are doing to us. And of course, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of these Jew organizations try to say we're the ones who hate. Really? Oh, really? What are we doing to you and your people? Nothing. But we're not going to be the host that you pray off anymore. It's over. It's done. We're telling you, get out of our countries. You wanted that hole in that sand pit in the Middle East? Get in it. Get in it. You've been told. You've been warned. Get out of our countries. Get out of our government. Get your hands out of our pockets and leave us alone, because we're awake and we're going to defend ourselves.
Yep. If the idiotic white people stop defending these creatures, nature will take care of the problem, because there's a whole lot of Middle Easterners that know what these people have been doing for a long time. And there's a whole lot of white people, fathers, grandfathers, aunts and uncles and all, that are becoming aware of what they have done to our children, our military people, how they're poisoning us with these vaccines, what they're doing to our foods, all of the health problems, just unbelievable mayhem and illness and everything else that's out there, and all of it laid at the foot of the Jew. Everybody, you know, it's like the vaccines. Salk and Sabin were the two doctors used to convince white people that vaccines were the greatest thing. I'll give you three guesses who Salk and Sabin belong to ethnically, Mike.
Jews.
Yeah, that's right. Talmud thumpers. And so the Jew media goes in and holds up these two Jew supposedly doctors and their supposed discovery of using vaccines. And then the poisoning starts. So let's see. Jew media tells us that we need vaccines, being told to us by two Jews, doctors, and of course the vaccines are created by Jew-owned pharmaceuticals, but we don't see a problem here.
How come the president's investigation into the whole painkiller and opiate problem stop short of the Jew billionaire husband and wife who've made about $5 billion off of the pain and suffering of the American people by pushing the marketing of pain pills to people who didn't even need them?
Yeah.
How come the investigation stopped short of the front door of the Jews who are guilty? How come, with all this talk about white colonialism, how come nobody ever talks about the Jew couple who own the Palm, you know, the pomegranate juice company? They also own the Fiji Water Company. How come nobody talks about how they've stolen billions and billions of dollars in assets from the nation of Fiji, that they've bribed the government of Fiji to have an exclusive right to take that artesian water out of the country and pay slave wages to native Fijians, and not even let them drink their own water that comes up from the ground on their own lands.
Unbelievable.
These people are demons. And how come you never hear about it? How come you never hear about it?
Right. Because of their control, obviously, their control. And they would love to control the internet, but I personally, my personal opinion is Yahweh is behind not allowing them to do that. If they could have done it, they would have done it. I think Father allowed the internet to come into existence so that the people of this earth would be awakened to the treason within their own governments. Let's face it, it's our governments are the most treasonous people walking the earth. And these criminals, these termites called Jews that walk amongst us. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, in the book of Revelation, when it talks about the whore, the great whore that seduces the nations, and the weeping and wailing that goes on when this mystery Babylon goes up in smoke, it's always the merchants and the leaders, the governmental leaders are doing the weeping and the wailing. And who's doing the weeping and wailing as QAnon and these autists and all these people that are doing the deep digging and the deep diving down the rabbit holes, and they're uncovering everything that these people have done. Unbelievable. Every day I spend here just shaking my head in awe at how much they have done to uncover these people. It is absolutely amazing. More and more people are waking up.
But to your point, how come the only nation on earth that's allowed to have dual citizenship and hold a government post in the United States federal government is Israel? So just think about it. With Jimmy's point earlier and to your point, these people work for us. We are the owners of this nation, supposedly, right?
Yep.
And if we vote for somebody who swears to have first allegiance to the United States and to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, right? Don't they take that oath?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they allowed to have first allegiance to Israel? Why, to my point earlier, why do they have this thunderous applause, this standing ovation when any Jew from Israel comes in to speak? Why do they pack? Not have to register as a foreign agency in America.
Mm-hmm.
Why has the ADL, the so-called Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, not ever does one of their spies who breaks into private citizens and government and law enforcement offices to get the records of Americans, why do they never go to prison? And why do we never hear about it in the news? I mean, maybe 25, 30 years ago, there was a famous case, and ever since then, mum's the word about the ADL. Nobody sees a pattern here that this funny, peculiar little people who claim to be so picked on are 35% of the world's billionaires and are committing all these crimes all over the place. That's like the old Polish saying, Dan, the Jew cries in pain as he smacks you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened before, over and over. And how come they never taught us that when the Magna Carta was signed, when the King of England agreed to sign it, how come nobody ever taught us that part of the Magna Carta, the Great Charter, stated that the King of England must expel all the Jews because they knew these lords, these upper middle class people who had a little bit of land and a little bit of money and saw that their country was going in the toilet, made their monarch sign a document that said, you will run this land according to the rule of law, or you see that tree stump over there, we're going to put your head on it, and it's going to come off. And part of the agreement was all the Jews would be expelled from England because they knew that the Jews had gotten influence over the crown through money.
Yeah. Well, here never again, end. the reason I push the monarchy, because there's a good case in point. A benevolent monarchy, every scholar will tell you, is the most efficient and beneficial form of government. It is by bar none, it's the best. Okay. Now, occasionally, though, if you're not careful, you could have a situation where they creep in, such as you're talking about with the King of England. If you're not diligent enough, they might creep in. But here again, what did the lords during the 1300s with the Magna Carta, what did the lords do to fix the problem? All they had to do is take the monarch out into the back of the castle by a tree, as you said, a tree stump, and just simply tell him, you either fix this problem, buddy, or your head's going to be on that stump. And right after it is, a sword is going to take it off, and we'll put a new king in there. Okay, so you got a choice. What? You can suck up to these damn Jews who are bleeding us dry, or we can take your head off and put somebody loyal to our own people in there, and we will just go on with life as it was before. So with a monarchy, all you got to do is straighten out the bad monarch if you do get one. Most of the time you don't. But if you do get one, you straighten them out. A lot easier to straighten out one guy than like we've got now. We got a mess in the Beltway with the secret executive service, which is a 8,000 plus member secret government that's been created by the likes of Obama and the rest of them. These bureaucrats don't have any credentials. They get automatic security clearances. They owe all their allegiance to whoever's sitting in the Oval Office. And that's who we're trying to stop. So you got the SES. You got the corrupt military-industrial complex. You got the corruption at the Pentagon. You got the corruption in all three branches of the government. And then it even goes down to the state level. Whereas if you had a monarch, all it would take is all of us guys that know better, take us military guys, get together and say, you know what, our nation's dying here. So are we going to live out what years we've got left and then face our children and grandchildren and say, well, you know, it was just such a daunting task. We really didn't want to take it on. Or do you go in there and clean house? And again, wouldn't it be easier if it was a monarch sitting in Washington, D.C. that you just had to get to and straighten out, versus this whole gaggle of bureaucrats in the current system, both in the United Kingdom under their system and over here our system? We've got a whole army, millions of these bastards, that think that they're our lords and masters. To me, it's a lot
simpler what's gonna happen.
To straighten out one guy than it is to try to straighten out the... hold on a minute, Mike. Hold on a minute. Okay. I had a troll in here, so I was locking the conference
up.
To your
point about the monarchy, even if the monarch was the worst selfish SOB on the planet, to your point, there's only one of them, right? But
right.
A wise monarch is saying to himself, well, I want to leave this kingdom and the throne intact or even improve it for the next generation. I'm going to give this to my son who's going to sit on the throne, and I'm going to teach him to be wise and loving king, and I want to leave an infrastructure and a government in place so that he'll be able to run the kingdom for the... again, even if he was a selfish SOB, didn't care about the people, only cared about his family, you're going to want peace. You're going to want, you don't want people coming up to the Bastille with pitchforks and torches and putting
right.
your head in the guillotine. You want peace. You want a good economy. So to your point, it would be better. But you know what I think the father's going to do, Dan, with this system?
What's that?
What enables these Jews to keep the leverage that they do over our people? The money system.
Yeah, the fake money system.
All, Yeah, all of these government officials, all of, whether they be, and I'm assuming good intent, I know that we've got plenty of wonderful people in the military and law enforcement, but what prevents a lot of those great people from speaking up and doing the right thing? What are they afraid? They're going to lose their pension, their benefits, their house. If you're poor, your wife's not going to want to be with you. So it all starts with the money system. Yes, there are a few brave souls who don't think about the money, but unfortunately, that's the way of the world right now. What happens if all of these government employees at the federal, state, and local levels find out, oh, man, I'm never getting that pension? Not only are they going to be ticked off that the people who promised them a retirement someday and benefits for their kids and all this, oh, well, wait a second, I'm not going to get that. So I was willing to betray my own people for a few shekels, and now even the shekels are gone? Oh, man. The people who pulled the rug out on that money system, that's going to be their last act of hubris, I'm telling you. They're doing it. They're going to collapse the economy in this country on purpose. It's going to be their last act, because when you no longer have the white muscle and the military and industry and everything else that comes along with, you know, lording over America, you better run like hell. So maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing for the economy, at least the money system, to get reset in this country and have a constitutional, legitimate currency in place. All their power would be gone.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, just do what the Constitution says would fix that problem. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword, and we got the no problem and no solution to any of our problems is going to work as long as the Jews have any power, any money, any power. They have to be dealt with. That's number one. They are the greatest threat to peace and prosperity on this earth. Number one. Now, as soon as they are neutralized and taken out of the picture, calmer heads will come together and fix every problem in a very short period of time. Like you said, there may be a little bump in the road, maybe a month, maybe 2 months of disruptions and everything. That's why so many people who can think rationally have been giving the warning, just as we have done for 19 years on this program. People, put away some things for 3 months. Be able to sit on your ass in your home for 3 months. Is that too much to ask? That you just stay right out of the way. There's going to be some bump in the road. But if you can just sit tight, take some time off, just think of it, relax, put enough stuff away. Because nobody's going to collect anything. You say, well, I won't be able to make a house payment. I won't be. No, guess what? Nobody will. All you have to do is sit tight while this thing plays
out. Yeah, nobody's going to come to your house and take your car or your home from you if the entire country has collapsed.
Right, exactly.
I know some people are so short-sighted when it comes to these things, and that just shows how programmed we are. Oh, what do? You get up, you go to work. You work some soul-crushing job in some cubicle staring at a computer all day so that you can have half of your resources stolen from you, so Shaquanda can have, you know, 8 illegitimate kids with the gold-tooth thugs in the hood, and then laugh. Oh, and then complain about how bad she's treated.
Yep.
That's done. This system cannot continue.
No, absolutely not. What are you hearing on the financial side of things? I listened, and I would highly recommend people go to a YouTube channel called Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter used to live, I think he lived here in Florida. In fact, I think he lived in Tampa. And he was a major reporter for CNN for a long time, and now he left them years ago, and he has his own independent YouTube channel. But he does pretty damn good reporting, very truthful. It seems like a really good man. He's a believer. But he did an interview recently with Jim Sinclair and Bill Holter, who I believe are two of the most honest economists that are out there trying to tell people what's going on. If you haven't listened to anybody explaining what's happening right now in the economy and what's about ready to happen, you need to go to that interview. Also, Jim Willey just did one with Rogue Money, and that is also another excellent interview. So those two interviews, all you got to do is take the time to listen to those two, and you're going to get a very quick education about where we're sitting. And I'm telling you, folks, I know we've been warning for a long time. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And everybody just went back to sleep. But I'm telling you, it's here. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen very soon. So if you have not prepared for that 3 months of hunkering down, shame on you, because your world is going to change in the very near future. So be mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, and physically prepared. Would you agree with that, Mike, or not?
I do completely. And just real quick, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. Even though a lot of the Jew economists and their cronies on these different national outlets, on whether it's CNN or Fox or Bloomberg, they'll tell you, yeah, you know, the dollar is still strong, but when you look at it, it's only because other currencies around the world are weak. What gives the United States the U.S. dollar? What gives the U.S. dollar its strength? Well, it's always been the reserve currency. What is the reserve currency? Well, whenever you wanted to settle or needed to settle an international commodities transaction, this law, this international agreement that was made at Bretton Woods said that, well, because there's so many different money systems around the world, you're going to use the dollar. Well, money is a commodity, and it is subject to the laws of supply and demand. And if you are a German and you have francs, if you are a Russian and you have rubles, and you say, well, I want to buy oil on the international market, you need to trade in your francs and rubles for dollars, then settle that transaction. Well, what does that do? It artificially pumps up the value of the dollar because, again, the laws of supply and demand say if something is in shorter supply but high demand, its value, its price, yes, money has a price, it goes up. Well, countries are seeing through that. They've been working against that system for a long time. The Russians are a huge oil producer. They don't accept dollars in trade anymore. The Chinese are creating a gold-backed currency, if it has not already been launched, Dan. This BRICS conglomeration of Brazil, Russia, India, China, they're getting to the point where they're going to completely sever ties with the U.S. dollar, and that could cause the U.S. dollar to crash. And if that happens, Dan, all of the prophecies about Babylon and how the merchants were weeping and how these once great cities look like these burnt-out husks, this is why a lot of people think that the United States is Babylon, that its systems, because they reflect the character and the principles and morals and values of the Jew, the United States has become Babylon. And yeah, when that dollar crashes, these once great cities are all going to look like Detroit does today. shitholes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, the BRICS nations, I believe, have already swapped over to the new system. It happened recently. The effects of that won't hit the lemmings in America. They won't wake up to that probably for another 3-4 weeks, but it's already happened. And just today, I listened to a report by Jim Willie that was talking about Iran and Turkey are also going to sign on. That's huge. Those are huge producers of both raw materials and economics on the world scene that have walked away from the U.S. dollar and going to the new CIP system, C-I-P-S, CIP system, that was started in the Asian markets, which is gold-backed, by the way. And I still say that there was a hint with the issuing of the new $100 bill here in the United States when half of that bill is referring to gold. The right-hand half of that bill is completely different. I mean completely different than the fake, phony, Jewish Federal Reserve piece of garbage note on the left-hand side. Everything on the right-hand side looks completely different, and it's all alluding to gold. A gold quill, a gold inkwell, gold lettering right out of the Declaration of Independence, even the $100 denomination on the front is in gold lettering. So that's a hint. Whether we go to a gold standard or not, I believe, as Jim Willie and the other guys do, we are going to go to a gold standard. Even if we didn't, it's telling you. It's in your face if you've got the eyes to see. It's in your face to tell you a change is coming, people, whether it's gold-backed or not. A change on the world scene is going to come. And that's all we're trying to warn you about. Just like when Y2K, the year 2000, was the big scare, and all the programmed microchips and all that were going to crash because they were not set up for the year 2000. They ended with the 1900s, and nobody had changed the software and the coding to accept the year 2000. Well, that was a big scare, and there were a lot of, and I was on the radio back then, and we were telling people, look, we don't know what's going to happen, but could it potentially happen? I had a very close friend of mine that was hired by a company. He was working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, to solve the software issues for Y2K. So I knew there was something to it, but nobody knew exactly what would happen when the clock struck midnight on December 31st, 1999. Okay, well, not a whole lot happened. So a lot of people started with their poo-pooing and all you fear porn. But I said, go back and listen to the broadcasts. They're all recorded. I said, nobody at any time told you that the world would come to an end. All we told you was, we have a problem. Nobody's for sure, even the people working on it, couldn't tell you exactly what was going to happen. And all we're telling you is have a few things put away just in case. That's all. And that's what we're doing now. All we know is a change is coming. That is for sure. This system is going out the window. That is for sure.
And look at the violence in this country, considering the fact that it's the wealthiest country in the world. How are people going to act in this place, in this multi-culti society that we have now, when stuff gets bad? What if we lost power for a week, 2 weeks, a month? What if there wasn't anything, you know, what if there wasn't any milk or bread on the shelves and in the fridge in the grocery stores? It is conceivable, and I'm not trying to terrify people. All I'm saying is I'm echoing what you have very eloquently said. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. Look at what happened a couple of years ago with the storms off the coast east coast of the United States in New Jersey, there are people who still haven't gotten their homes rebuilt in some of those Jersey Shore communities. There are still people who are waiting on checks. There are still people whose lives have not been made right again. What would happen if every state in the union was like that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Dan, I wanted to also say or ask you a question. Do you think there could end up being war in this country? And I ask that not like a civil war. I mean, can you see this country being invaded? Here's why I ask. I think it was 2 years ago now, a longstanding 40-year law was rescinded where the United States oil companies were not allowed to export oil because the United States was was dependent on foreign energy. The government said, hey, no exporting oil. Well, that's done now. So now, even though we're not seeing the price of gas drop for the average guy who's got to fill the tank and go to work here in America, these oil companies, who don't have any loyalty to us, by the way, they're making huge profits by exporting oil overseas. Well, what has that done to those countries that you said are big oil producers? Iran, Russia, Venezuela. What happens when your country's struggling economically and one of your biggest exports is oil and some big superpower who hasn't sold oil on the open market in decades all of a sudden starts dumping a lot of cheap crude on the market? What does that do to your country? That's economic warfare, Dan. The Jews know exactly what that's doing to Russia and Iran. It's dropping the price of oil. It's causing economic hardship in these countries. And Dan, it's not said in the news openly, but there are countries that are saying that is an act of war on the part of the United States. And it's not the average guy on the street like you and I doing it. It's, gee, what a surprise. Once again, the Jew that runs these companies. But we're going to be the ones that catch hell from it, because economic wars turn into real wars. So I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
I think if they are allowed to do what they want to do, yes, they want a third world war, because that's been their plan all along. Albert Pike and others talked about it. So the Jews want a third world war to solidify their complete domination of this world. That's their plan. The good news is Yahweh says, I know what their plans are, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm laughing in derision upon my throne at what these creatures think they're going to be able to do. So the way I look at it is this. It depends whether we actually have any good military left, all right? And I keep going back to that conversation and letter I got from a retired military intelligence guy 8 years ago, back in 2010. He spoke of these kind of things, and we talked about it. QAnon talks about it. Some of the other analysts that look at the Q posts and try to figure, decode all the stuff that's being dropped. And the people that believe in the reset believe that there are what they call white hats out there. My own personal belief is that there are white hats. If the white hats, who know everything that we're talking about, trust me, they know. They know all this stuff. If they intervene, knowing full well what the Jew is up to, and there's a lot of indicators telling me right now that they've already stopped some of these false flags and attempts to kick off World War III. For instance, North Korea. North Korea didn't go anywhere even close to what the Jewish media was telling us, did it? So, and also, Q has said, keep an eye on Iran, because Iran is about ready to be overthrown by the conservative side of the Iranian people and throw their puppet masters out that are kowtowing to the Jew, because they have the same problem every nation's got. So Q said, keep an eye on them, and sure enough, it was right after Q put that out that we see about that I can't think of how you pronounce his last name. But anyway, the guy that's president over there has just been chastised by the governing body over there, and he's being watched very carefully. So if there is a group of, quote, good intelligence left and good military left working with the patriots that are out there behind the scenes to foil what they've got planned, I can see that it will go up in smoke and their plan will not come to fruition. If there are not, then what you're talking about is going to happen for sure. I don't see how it could not happen. So we've got two opposing forces. We got the children of light and the children of darkness. The children of darkness want a third world war. They want to dominate this world. Jews and rabbis in particular recently have come out and admitted that in the Jewish mind, they are the masters of this world. And everybody else, you, me, our sons and daughters and grandchildren, were put on this earth to be their slaves. They've come out and admitted it.
Okay, that's what the word goyim means. It means cattle. They literally say in the Talmud that the only reason that they let us live is because, just like they would, you know, feed and take care of a donkey, but we're a servant for them. And they think, I mean, just Google it, folks. Again, don't believe a single word we say. Look this stuff up. Look at the quote of Menachem Begin, who said that the Jew is the master race on the planet, and that the only reason that any other creature is allowed to live on Earth is that it's their purpose to serve the Jew. Does that sound like a funny little picked on people who just need our help and our money? And no, these are sociopaths. These are crazy people who, by their own admission, their government has what's called, what's that plan? That if they can't have the world, they're going to blow it up.
The Samson option.
What is that called? The Samson option. The reason they don't disclose all the nuclear weapons and all the weapons of mass destruction they have is that if they see that this world, it's like a bad kid who doesn't want someone else to have one of his toys to the point where he'd smash it and break it, rather than let someone else have it and play with it. That's what they're like, these sick people.
And here's the mind bender. Let me throw this out there for you. The Mossad, which is their secret service, has a motto above their headquarters. It says, "By deception thou shalt make war." And the Jews are the greatest deceivers and liars that ever existed. Keep that in mind as I tell you what I think is going to happen. The world's going to realize that the nuclear arsenal that the Jews supposedly have doesn't exist. It is a blackmail tool to keep all of us fighting the Cold War and fighting against each other because of the, quote, nuclear option that might at any time be used. Think of the trillions of dollars that have been spent by the military-industrial complex. Think of all of the things that we've backed away from because, oh my God, they might nuke us. And, of course, the Samson option by these creatures, these beasts that live in Palestine called Jews, what greater deception than to think that they're sitting on hundreds of quote, nuclear bombs, when in fact they don't have any because they don't exist. It's all part of the show. It's all part of the orchestration, much as the whole moon mission and everything associated with NASA is a lie. 100% Hollywood. Why do you think NASA hired, in the very beginning, a boatload of Hollywood movie producers. Why would NASA do that? Why would they hire Disney? What would a legitimate space agency need with movie producers? And I say,
look at the movie. That Walt Disney made with Wernher von Braun, the German head of NASA, the German head of the American rocket program. Why would he be making a movie with Walt Disney?
Right, right. And even Wernher von Braun on his tombstone has a reference to a Bible verse about the firmament. So he was even in his death trying to tell us that it's all a lie, folks. I'm sorry, but you're living a lie. You're living the Truman Show, all right? You're living the Truman Show. And I'm personally of the opinion that the whole Samson option is nothing more than a blowhard Jew standing up, threatening the world that you got to put up with our bullshit because we'll push a button and drop nukes on you. Hey, Jew, you don't have any. We're on to your games now. Your lips are moving, which means you're lying. And if you got them, push the damn button already. I'm at that point. I don't care. Push it, because this world ain't going to be worth living in anyway.
And if they had strategic nukes, shoot, they blew up the King David Hotel with their own people in it. You tell me if they had strategic nukes that they wouldn't have used them already?
They're liars. They're liars. If they were so powerful and they actually had that kind of muscle behind them, why would they need the billions of dollars from us? Why would they need our military to go fight their goddamn wars for them? I'm sick and tired of these bastards. I really am. It's time to kick their sorry asses out of every white nation on earth. Why are we putting up with these sniveling, snotty, schizophrenic, sickly, puny-ass, lying pieces of shit called Jews? Why are we doing that? I want to know. Somebody's got to explain that to me. Why, when Christ himself told us they are of their father, the devil? Why?
Dan,
when Christ himself said they speak lies, when they open their mouth, their language is a lie. Mike, why?
And look at who he dealt with. Think of what the Sanhedrin priesthood was. Think of what these Jews were. They were treated like royalty, and they still behaved that way. They had everything. They had the best clothes, the best food. They were held in the highest regard by the people because they were the Sanhedrin, and people were terrified of them. Look at how they behaved when they had everything their own way. They still behaved like a brood of vipers, like he called them. You
right.
think they would, just like the hubris they have today, this billionaire Sheldon Adelson need to be telling everybody we need to launch a nuke or blow up a nuke in the middle of Nebraska? Do all the billionaires in the world, most of whom are Jews, need to be sitting around a table thinking how to refashion the world in their own image? When is enough enough? It's never enough for those people. It's never enough. Did you see the recent article about how Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and the Amazon CEO, Bezos, none of these people allow their kids to use the technology that they push on us? None of them. They don't. So Zuckerberg himself takes black electrical tape and puts it over the microphone and the camera on his phone, and all his other devices. He takes a microphone jack, microphone, plugs it into the jack, and cuts the end off so it's inoperable. Bill and Melinda Gates refuse, when raising their children, to allow them to use the technology that they made billions on. Apple, they didn't allow their kids. any of the founders to use this technology, they're a society of sociopaths.
Hypocrites.
Things are never going to be the way that the Father wants them to be for us until we rid our countries of them. Nobody's saying that we don't want blacks to have their countries and their places. No, we want a true diverse world where the Japanese live in Japan. Hey, what a novelty. Congoids live in the Congo. Hey, Jews, Israeli, go move to Israel and everything will be fine. That's what you wanted. Hey, Bibi Netanyahu is saying, hey, come home, come home. Well, listen to him. Listen to him. Nobody wants a war, but Whitey has woken up to you. We're not going to take this anymore, and it's not going to end well for you. It's happened before, over and over and over again. Just leave our countries and everything will be fine.
Yep. Amen to that. Just leave us the hell alone. Get the hell out. They've polluted everything they touch. Just like Christ said, it's they can't do anything other than that. They can't change their spots. A leopard can't change his spots. A scorpion won't stop stinging. A Jew won't stop debasing everything. Everything they touch, they debase it. Whether it's currency, your morals, your society, your families, your women, your children, whatever. They debase whatever they touch. And to reinforce what you just said, my daughter worked for a pharmacist many years ago when she was in high school, getting ready to go to college. And she worked at a pharmacy run by a Jew. And she didn't tell me it was a Jew that owned it in the beginning, but I was talking to her about natural health and pharmaceuticals, and she laughed and she said, you know that the pharmacy where I work, the guy that owns the pharmacy will not let his children or his wife have any of the medications or any of the stuff in the pharmacy. And I said, why? And she said, he told me this stuff is poison. And I said, well, wait a minute. Didn't you ask the obvious question, but you're selling it to people? And she said, oh, yeah, I did ask him. And he, you know what he said? I make good money. He admits it's poison, won't let his own family have it, but he said, hey, I make good money at it. So a typical Jew, exactly, knowing damn well that what he sells in there is exactly what the Greek word pharmakia means, drugs used in sorcery and black magic, not for your benefit. Yahweh told us that the herbs and the plants and the seeds and the trees would be both our food and our medicine, and guess what? It's 100% accurate. It's exactly what it is. You can fix everything that's wrong with your body naturally with herbs and tinctures and homeopathics. You don't need all this expensive Jewish promoted hospitals, doctors, and their whole medical mafia. That's just the way it is. But
what about all these people? I would just say, to dovetail with that, Dan, there's never that whole scare about MRSA when it was out, that flesh-eating disease. Oh, no, antibiotics cure it. Aboriginal tribes in Australia and New Zealand were laughing. They're like, well, all you got to do is take this pure Manuka honey that's made out of the tea tree, and it's the most antiseptic stuff on earth. Put that on it. Kills it.
Right.
Kills it. I mean,
just like garlic.
You're so stupid.
Yep, garlic is one of the best antibiotics that's out there, and people don't even know it. It's just the things are so simple, so simple. Man muddles everything up. Mankind just muddles it up, all because of a lack of faith. That's really what it boils down to, a lack of faith, Mike. If they had faith in the scriptures and faith in our Heavenly Father, that He didn't set us down on this earth and leave us helpless. If they want to believe a bunch of Jew professors with their bullshit about evolution and all that crap, Okay, well then believe it. If you want to listen to the snake as he's whispering in your ear and hissing in your ear like Eve did, well, Eve found out that wasn't the smartest thing to do. Adam also found out it wasn't smart to leave Eve alone and have the serpent whispering in her ear. And we're no different today. It's the same thing. When the hell are the white men going to rise up and be men again? When, as James Lancey has said on the show many months ago, when are we going to learn to be lions again? When are we going to stop acting like we're little dachshund ankle-biter dogs that can't accomplish anything when Yahweh put us down here to be the lions? When are we going to be lions again? Wouldn't it be fun to go out and be lions? And when you find despicable, violent, and evil people, just go out and tear them to shreds? I think it would be great, personally. I don't want to hurt anybody. I wish everybody would behave. But guess what? They don't. And so if you love your family and you love justice and you love what's right in this world, you want to be a lion and you want to go out and tear to shreds the people that think killing children is okay, the people that think eating children is okay so it makes them live a little bit longer or look a little bit younger. These people are sick beyond belief, Michael. It's time. I don't know. It's time to be lions.
Oh, it is time.
Damn it. It's time to be lions.
And to your point, the way to start it is to just refuse to comply. I'm not sending my kids to public school system so that they can be indoctrinated into how to hate themselves. I'm not going to feed my kids this genetically modified crap. I'm not going to drink soda pop with artificial sweeteners invented by Searle Pharmaceutical that literally rot the inside of your gut and destroy all of the healthy bacteria and make you want to crave more of it. I'm not going to inject any of their poisons into me. And I'm going to, oh, geez, how strange is this? That if you walk outside when the sun comes up, take your shoes off and get grounded to the earth and get some of the good sun rays, not wearing sunglasses, into your eyes, all the chemicals that your body needs, all the good hormones that cause you to be lean and sleep well and have a high sex drive. Gee, isn't it strange that your body just makes them? Oh, really? Meaning the Father gave us a power source and an energy source and a health source that makes trees grow hundreds of feet tall and live for hundreds of years, but we're supposed to be afraid of it? Who teaches us that?
Yeah, exactly. And the Jew wants the men to go out and buy these little blue pills so that they can be a man when all you have to do is eat some organic cabbage, for one thing. There's other stuff, too, but the one I remember is organic cabbage, and your T levels will come bouncing back. So, I mean, the Jew is a liar. I mean, unbelievable how they've buffaloed our people, and even more unbelievable is that we just accept it. We don't even use the brains that Yahweh gave us. We don't. It's unbelievable.
Just resist. Don't comply with their systems, and when they show up, then you're the lion. What is the lion doing most of the time? Sitting around, minding his own business, making sure that none of the jackals or the hyenas show up. And if they do, he shreds them. He doesn't go out looking for trouble. Most of the time he's sitting around with the cubs crawling all over him, chewing his ear, pulling his tail. He doesn't care. But then you mess with the pride, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not looking for trouble. We're asking to be left alone. We're being told, leave our women alone. Stop opening up the drawbridge and opening the gates and letting enemies into our land. Stop. Do you know that? Talk about currency. The original law in the United States of America was that if you even shaved some gold or silver off of a coin, you would be hung for devaluing the currency. I mean, just, we want a sound money system. We want to be able to keep the fruits of our labors and distribute them as we please, as we wish. Gee, what are those sounds? Oh, natural human rights. Gee, how unusual, how strange. What a novel concept.
There is a verse in the Bible, by the way, Mike, I found it many years ago. A lot of verses say that usury or charging of interest on money is evil, but there is actually one verse that says that the usurer is to be stoned to death. He's to be put to death. So usury is a form of clipping. What you're talking about used to be a hanging offense, was called clipping a little silver or gold off of each coin. And typically Jews did that quite a bit. And that's why they worked so hard to get those laws overlooked, the biblical laws and even the laws of the United States, because they know their people are the ones most guilty of it. So they don't want to die. That's who pushed for the getting rid of the death penalty so much. They said it was because it was cruel and unusual. Well, that's funny. It's in the Bible. Last time I checked, God was not considered cruel and unusual. But the Jews knew that because they commit capital crimes all the time.
It's more proof that it's not their book and that they're not the people of the book. And what utter hypocrisy that they claim that they hate all these laws and all these rules. Well, I thought you said that book, the Old Testament, was about your people. Not about your people, you lying Jews. Jews,
exactly.
They're not. They're just...
Hey, Jimmy, if you have any comments, we're getting close to the end, buddy. If you want to jump in for any closing comments, then we'll wrap things up here tonight.
Nothing other than you gentlemen did a great job. And, of course, I keep my hydraulic jack here on my desk to keep my jaw from hitting it, but you guys are absolutely on target, and again, I'm honored to be a part of this show, and frankly, I do welcome the closing, because my lion ass is tired, and I mean lion, it's L-I-O-N, and I have some more chainsaw work and some electrical work to do in the morning to restore my water supply, but once again, gentlemen, excellent, excellent conversation, and Yahweh bless you both.
All right, Jimmy, and Yahweh be with you as you try to get your home back in order from that storm and that tree that came down. So, and thank you for mirroring this on your channel, and just all the best, and take good care. Thanks for being with us. All right, Michael, any closing thoughts here? We didn't even get to talk much about the ARC project, which I believe Father's going to bless it here in the near future, but any thoughts along that line?
Just again, folks, we are admonished over and over again in Scripture to come out of her. Babylon is a system. It's not just symbolism. It's not some weird ancient funny people. We're being told in this book that we're being given stories to tell us, hey, get your life straightened out today. You don't have to be perfect. Don't have to be, walking on water or floating, or just realize that if you are Caucasian, if you are a true Israelite, the God of the Bible inspired those writings about you from Genesis to Revelation. That story is about your people, and the only time other people are mentioned is when they come into contact with you and your family. There is a special plan for you and your people, and you can be a part of it. Repentance is what, Dan? It literally means turning a 180, walking away from all of the corrupt systems. So in all areas of your life, pull out a piece of scratch paper and say, what can I do to cut the legs out from under this Babylon system and not fund it? Nobody's asking you to pick up an AR and run around and shoot people. No, don't do that. What we're asking you to do is stop helping these people hurt you. Don't borrow money if you don't have to. Don't send your kids to public school. And get your kids' faces in that book. Shut off the television. Don't give them money to go to the movies. Eat better food. You know, go for a walk. Spend time with your kids. And teach them real history about who their people are. And this system will just dry up like a, you know, like a worm left out on the sidewalk during a sunny day. It'll blow off. It'll dry off and just blow away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just stop aiding and abetting the enemy. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, I had you on for a long time. I know you must be tired. I know Jimmy's tired. He wants to head off to bed, and probably some of our listeners do. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer. But thanks for being with us. I know it's been a while, and all of my listeners like to hear what you have to say. So thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to discuss these things with our brethren. We also thank you for the technology that you've given us that we could use it for these truths. We pray it gets out to the right people that have ears to hear and have discernment so that they know that we are not coming on here with malice other than the enemies of our Heavenly Father Yahweh, the enemies of truth and justice and prosperity that want to wreak a havoc on the people of this earth. We are the Adamites that Yahweh put here so long ago, and we've been neglecting that duty, and it's time that we get back to being the keepers of the garden and to bring back the prosperity that he wanted for all of mankind to live on this earth, and we got to do it. It's our job. The whole world is in travail waiting for us, the sons and daughters of Yahweh, especially the sons, to be manifested. And it's about time we get that taken care of. We ask you to bless Jimmy and his efforts at his house. Bless Mike and his possible changes that might be happening. And you know what we're talking about there. And also bless us in the area of the ark. If it's your will, Father, open up a door for us that we can come together and pick out a piece of land and put a flag down in it that says this land belongs to the Father of the white race, our Heavenly Father Yahweh, and his law and his law alone is what's going to be paramount on this piece of ground, and get back to the basics of the way we should be living. And be with your children all over the earth. Give them discernment. Give them a stiff backbone. Help them to see clearly the present danger that we are in, and see clearly your solutions to those problems. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.